Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
All right, welcome back to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. We are here again, as always, with another episode this week. I know you guys are probably super excited for us to talk about the finale of The Acolyte, but we will get to it. And we will be done with that show, finally.
Probably never talk about it again.
We won't talk about it anymore.
Until they announce season two.
Yeah, I know. Trent, I'm one of your hosts, Tobiah, joined with Trent, your other host. How you doing?
Doing great. Yep, I'm running on like 3 hours of sleep, so maybe not that great. Because I had some friends in town last night, and we just hung out, stayed up a little too late. But I'm good, I'm ready, and then I worked a 12-hour day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
for sure. I'm running on coffee and a protein shake. So, let's roll.
Sweet. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, what have you got for us this week, Trent? What's going on in the film industry besides The Acolytes?
Man, I don't know. I feel like I don't think really anything. There hasn't been much happening this week. I don't think there was anything that was big or anything.
No, not a whole lot.
I'm joking. There was a big thing that happened this last week. Oh.
I must have missed stuff then.
If you're living under... No, I'm just kidding. You just... What's not that? Entertainment. I'm just talking about the attempted assassination of Trump.
Oh, yeah.
I was just...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The thing that's going on that has happened this week that is blown up.
Yes.
And been pretty crazy to see everything unfold. And
yeah.
We're not a politics show, but it's just interesting to see just... the story that's being told. Like, we talk about stories, we talk about narratives, and we're seeing a narrative unfold with all of this. With it's just one ridiculous thing after another, from the actual assassination attempt to what led up to it, to everything coming out about the Secret Service and their incompetence, that, you know, where they knew this shooter was this kid was there 3 hours before Trump took the stage, and they even confronted him or something, and there was just one thing after another, and somehow he made his way up onto this roof that the Secret Service said was too dangerous, had too much of a slope for them to have Secret Service agents propped up on there, which was a ridiculous excuse, to the shooting itself, where Trump turns his head at the last millisecond and doesn't get shot in the head. Like, he is a centimeter away from from his life ending right there in front of millions and millions of people. And we're a centimeter away from likely another civil war, like from complete chaos in our nation. But it stopped because Trump turned his head, because he's talking about immigration policies on the big PowerPoint board, whatever. It's anyways, crazy. And then things that are just unfolding afterwards. It's just a crazy story that we're seeing, and then the fact that a woman was in front of him, one of the Secret Service agents, who's a woman. She is ducked down in order for Trump to be able to have clear view of the camera to pump up his fist and capture one of the most iconic photos of all of history. Yeah. It's just because like Trump should not have been exposed like that, but he was, because there was a female who's shorter than him who was ducking down, and he, so that he, and it just provides a perfect opportunity for him to have this photo op that will go down in history. And anyways, it's just wild. And then the female Secret Service agent who's not able to holster a weapon, and struggles yeah. with doing that right there. And she just does not know what's going on, what she's supposed to do. And it's crazy world we live in. And it's just a comedy every day. And the story that the Lord is telling is wild. And, you know, it's going to be a crazy few months leading up to November. It sounds like Biden might be stepping down. Like there's some actually credible news sources that are saying that that's probably going to happen this weekend. So I don't know, man. It's just wild. But enough of that, unless you have something else to say. I'm just saying, in relation to narrative and story, it's just,
For sure.
And then Trump goes golfing the next day, and it's just funny, you know. And
well, yeah, now there's a whole symbol movement thing going where you put a bandage over your your right ear, not your left, but yeah,
that's
your right ear.
That's
yeah.
Am I allowed to say that word? I'm allowed to say that word on YouTube. I mean, on Rumble, but probably not YouTube.
Yeah, I'll have to cut that out.
It's fine. It's probably fine. Yeah, it's. Man, it's just wild. I hope
this. Yeah, no, you're right, though. There isn't a lot happening in the film industry this week because of that. Like, because they know their news will just get overshadowed by.
I'm sure Leslie Headland was thankful that happened so that the Acolyte was out of the news for a little bit. And then the finale happened. Oh, boy.
It's insane. But yeah.
Yeah.
When does what's the movie called? Twisters, the sequel to Twister. That comes out. That's not out yet, is it? Or did it just come out?
I think it came out tonight.
Today. Like tonight. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm pretty certain.
So that comes out. There's been a lot of hype for that.
Yeah.
I know they've been doing a lot for their advertising and pushing that out, trying to get people in the seats. And guess what it is? It's another sequel.
Yay. Not
as always. What?
There's not one Twister. It's two Twisters. There's twins. It's like, okay. I don't know. It's kind of dumb, but I don't know. It's probably just going to be like a modern day retelling of the Twister movie, which like was a big, a big hit. It's a big movie, especially if you live in the Midwest, you know, everyone watches movie.
Yeah. They're just like putting these movies in a bag and picking random ones to make a sequel about now.
Yeah, it's so
like,
random.
This is
the year of sequels and prequels and remakes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, another sequel, Beetlejuice. They released another trailer for it today. Did you see that?
Oh, really? I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I probably saw something, but just skipped over it.
It looks really fun. Yeah. It seems like they're going to spend a lot more time in like the afterlife or the, what is it, the before death or post death. What do they call it? I can't remember what it's called, but they're probably going to spend a lot of time in that world, it looks like.
Yeah.
And it kind of gave us more of the plot in the trailer. So, I mean, I'm excited about it. It'll be a fun one. Like, if there's a sequel that I would look forward to this year, that's probably it. In that I like the first Beetlejuice. This is a fun Halloween movie, and so it's another Halloween movie, and it's another Beetlejuice. And I love Michael Keaton; he's one of my favorite actors. So it'll be fun.
I'm looking forward to that, but I mean, it's just another sequel.
Yeah, yeah. But it does look fun. How many original big blockbuster original films came out this year, or has come out, or will come out? I mean, there's been like a lot.
Inside Out 2 is like
smaller films,
the biggest.
No, I'm talking about original films, like
original,
like the first in a series, not a sequel, not a prequel.
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
I mean, I know there has like. Well, I was gonna say Fall Guy, but Fall Guy is a remake of the TV show. I'm trying to think of movies I've seen this year that would fall in that category. I mean, there's been like some smaller low budget films. There's been some horror films that I've seen. Actually, one I'll mention in a minute. So yeah, I mean, there's few here and there, but the majority of the big blockbuster ones, are definitely sequels and such and prequels and the same old dog and pony dance, same old thing over and over again.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yep.
It's what it is. It's kind of the same thing we keep talking about. You know, they can't make anything original.
Yeah. So they are, I don't know if this will be any good, this movie, but there's Andrew Garfield's new movie with Florence Pugh.
Oh.
We Live in Time. It's like a romance comedy. But I like Andrew Garfield and it looks interesting. It's like a, I don't know, an interesting movie.
Yeah.
But it's original. So right. I like that.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't think I know anything about that one. So it could be good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I just seen the trailer and it's like, he gets hit by a car that she was driving and then he loses all his memory. And I think they were engaged at the time. And so they kind of like re-meet each other and then fall in love, whatever.
Pretty sure that story has been told a dozen times, but it sounds good.
Yeah. But not in a comedy format, Trent.
It's a rom-com? Okay.
Yeah. It's like really a comedy though. Like not like rom-com, but like it's like really a little over the top comedy.
Oh wow. Wouldn't expect that.
Like when he gets hit by the car, he like flips up and like crazy. Okay.
Oh, all right. That's fine.
Okay. So, yeah.
I saw so Nicolas Cage has a movie that just came out called Long Legs, and it's not like it's a horror movie, but it's not like a monster horror movie. Like you think Long Legs, like, oh, so he's turned into like a giant spider or Daddy Long Legs or something. No, it's not that. It's just the name that this villain antagonist calls himself. Not really I think just because he's Nicolas Cage and he's kind of tall and has long legs, but anyways, it's an A4 film and very low budget, but man, it was incredibly well done. Just how they tell the story and just the cinematography is pretty great. Acting was solid. The story wasn't bad. Horror movies don't really get to me. Like, they don't scare me. I mostly watch them to kind of dissect and understand the horror genre more and more. And understand why it, which is another topic for another day, maybe, but understand why it is that people like the horror genre and what, and think through like, okay, what is good horror? Cause we live in a horror, how do I say it? We live in a haunted world, where there are demons, goblins, ghouls, nefarious forces. There are things that we should be afraid of and that we are afraid of, and there is real fear in this world. And horror movies are an interesting thing where people go and they consume horror and do so in such a way that that entertains them, or they just enjoy that thrill and just the thrill of watching a horror movie and being scared for that, you know, for the hour and a half that you're in the movie. And but there's even a deeper psychological there's a lot more even to that as to why people watch horror movies. So you have like slasher films, which I don't like slasher films because usually they have a lot of nudity and I'm not a big fan of that type of horror anyway. But slasher films, you have, you know, what the movie always starts out with a promiscuous couple that goes out into the woods and has sex, and then the bad guy kills him right then. You know, that's the opening scene of almost all of those movies. And what they're doing there is they're showing that, oh, that this couple is doing things they should not be doing. And when the villain kills them, it's kind of like a, oh yeah, we got them. Like, oh yeah, that we, you know, that they got what's coming to them almost. There's a sense that, you know, you project your guilt upon them. And I'm not saying this is a good thing, but this is what people typically do. It's like you don't feel bad for that couple, because the movie makes it clear that they're not doing things they should be. They're doing some things they should not be doing. Usually they're high, they're drunk, mm-hmm. And they're being promiscuous and so forth. And then you kill them. So the horror genre in general, like monster horrors, the monster is always something that we project horror onto. Alien, you know, like it or not, is actually a, like the Alien movies. Alien mm-hmm. is a analogy for abortion. You have the baby becomes a monster and goes and kills everyone because, you know, it comes from within, cuts itself out. And the creator of Alien, what they were doing was projecting their experience of an abortion into the story, so that the guilt is put on the monster, and the monster comes out and he goes and kills everyone and wreaks havoc on the world. And so then the creators or the people watching it feel like a sense of retribution or a sense of, oh, my guilt is paid in this monster or in this person that died in my place, in a sense. So that is a huge can of worms I was not planning on opening up. But there's a lot more to that, a lot more that you can unpack. Like Dracula is a symbol of the sexual revolution coming forth into Europe and then into America, and it infects and causes it infects and spreads and kills, and then you have syphilis and so forth, and so there's a lot to that. My point is, I don't even know what my point is. I did not mean to do that. Like I usually don't. Where was that? Long
just,
legs.
Yeah, just talking yeah. about yeah, long legs and so the long legs genre and stuff.
Yeah, it was a decent film, I think, and Nicolas Cage had. I think that was one of his best roles ever. He's like unrecognizable as the villain because he has a lot of makeup prosthetics. And just the way that they kind of hide his face for half the film, and then you finally get the reveal of like what he looks like, and it's really creepy, but it's just, he just does an awesome job. And anyways, I'm not going to get into the whole plot and story, but it was interesting just to see Nick Cage in that role because I was thinking, like, I don't know if Nick Cage has ever really played like a villain or like an antagonist. I'm sure he has. It's not that I could think of, and though that I've seen, so I thought that was interesting that he did that role, and he really wasn't in the movie that long, but he was there, but his presence was felt throughout the whole film in a pretty unique way, but I thought was good. So anyways, there's that one.
That's cool.
We didn't talk about so the trailer for Captain America 4 came out the day after last week.
We're a little behind that. On that, but
yeah,
that did come out the day after we recorded last week.
I haven't talked to you about it. What's your thoughts on Captain America, Brave New World?
There wasn't much there, honestly. I mean, it kind of seemed like a cheap remake of The Winter Soldier, like that story.
Right.
A lot of, like, you know, Captain America, Falcon, whatever, versus the government and the hidden forces in the government that are plotting and doing things they shouldn't be. And yeah, just a lot of that typical stuff, which, I mean, that aligns well with, like, a lot of what Captain America is about, but I don't know. Didn't seem really interesting. Also, what happened to his suit from what was the show called that he was in?
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, that was a pretty solid Captain America Falcon suit, and now he's back to, like, his more Falcon suit.
I don't know
what happened to that.
Like, oh, was it, like, the really, like, blue and white?
I mean, it was, like, it was, like, very, like, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty solid. I liked it. A lot better than the suit in this one. It's just another Falcon suit. That was kind of dumb. And then we get Red Hulk in the end. That was interesting. I mean, it's cool. Like, I'm excited to see Red Hulk for sure. But I don't know. Well, the last couple Hulks we've gotten were pretty ugly. Yeah. So She-Hulk and She-Hulk's son. I mean, not She-Hulk's son, but what's his Hulk's son?
Yeah,
that was a monstrosity.
say the well, least. even but, Professor Hulk has been just a terrible character. They completely effeminized or made him very effeminate and weak and not Hulk.
Yeah, no, for sure.
They've stuck with that since Endgame. Even Infinity War, I mean, he fought Thanos and then lost and then was a crybaby for the rest of the movie. It's like, I don't want to become the Hulk. I don't want to come out. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's whatever. I'm not a huge fan of Harrison Ford as
Thunderbolt Ross.
I think, man, they should have gone with the guy. Who's the guy that played Ross in the Sam Hulk Elliot. That we reviewed?
Sam Elliott.
Agree. Why didn't they choose him? Why? Great. Like,
yeah,
he looks far more like the Ross that they already established in this show.
Right.
And he was already Ross in another film. Like, it just would have worked. Like, it would have worked great. It's just dumb that they went with Harrison Ford. Like, makes no sense.
Right.
I just think it's dumb.
Yeah. They should have gone with Sam Elliott. That would have been a lot better. And I don't understand why they took away the mustache. It's like,
because
he's president now. I don't know. He has a new look. Or Harrison Ford just didn't want a mustache.
Yeah.
Probably it.
When they filmed the movie the first time he probably had one.
And then reshoots are like, yeah, sorry Harrison, you need to grow a mustache again. He's like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
just make a joke about it.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah.
That's goodness gracious.
But I don't know. I don't expect smart decisions from Marvel anymore, Disney, anything like that. So just what I expect.
Right.
I probably won't be seeing this movie in theaters. I'll probably watch it when it comes to Disney Plus, but
yeah.
I mean, we'll see how the reception is, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I don't have any desire to see it.
Yeah. I don't want to waste my money on it, so.
Right. Not worth it.
All right. Speaking
of Marvel, did you hear that the Russo brothers might be coming back for Avengers 4 and 5?
Yeah.
That could be interesting. Is that going to turn things around?
Yeah. We've seen that happen before by Disney, and it doesn't work. Because they still have these scripts that are just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, think of J.J. Abrams when they brought him back after firing the other guys.
I can't believe I used to be a fan of J.J. Abrams. I've realized that he's not a good writer or director. I mean, Lost was good until season 6.
And I'm sure, like, there's a couple of things he's done that's good, but for the most part, Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker are the most incompetent, ridiculous movies that make no sense at all.
And I really liked, I don't know if he directed it or wrote it. I can't remember what he did, but Super 8.
Yeah, yeah, Super 8.
I think
Keeley's directed it. Or what was that? Because it was Spielberg too. I think maybe Spielberg produced.
Spielberg was involved too. That's why I can't remember which way it went. But I think J.J. Abrams at least directed it. It's essentially a remake of E.T. That's why Spielberg was involved.
Yeah. Essentially.
And so, yeah.
Pretty much.
Still a good movie. Really great movie. I actually watched it in preparation for our second season. And
oh, really?
It was pretty far up there, actually.
I guess I haven't seen that since it like came out.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty decent movie.
Nice.
But, yeah. You got anything else? I was just saying, I think we've, what's the word? I don't know, postponed the inevitable long enough.
finally put the nail in the coffin.
Yep.
I wish my light thing worked. Oh, there we go. There's red. It's red for
in honor
of OSHA.
Yeah, there you go. I, of course, haven't seen it because I refuse to watch it. But I've seen stuff.
I turned my light red just like OSHA turned her lightsaber red. I was a little moody. Got angry because you told me that we were going to talk about the Acolyte. I'm just kidding. So, yeah. I don't know what's going on with this light. This one's just... I got to figure that out. I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyways, The Acolyte.
Yeah, I've seen
the finale.
Like I said, I haven't watched it, but I've seen things that were in it.
Yeah.
So did Yoda actually show up?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so here we go. I'll just jump to the end. So the end of everything happens at the end. Female protagonist who turns into an antagonist, then turns into a protagonist, then turns into an antagonist, and ends up as a antagonist. Female boss, non-binary lady. She defeats the Jedi because she's the best, and she had to. She forced Soul to confess his crimes, to confess his guilt, guilt for killing her mother, even though it was completely justified, and even though he had every right and reason to do what he did to protect the girls, but OSHA was feeling pretty moody and got mad, and just like May in episode 3 saying that she's going to kill her sister, saying, "I'm going to kill you now. Because I don't want you to become a Jedi." OSHA now decides, "I'm going to kill you, Soul, because I just found out that you killed my mother and you lied to me about it." So without even hearing him out or getting an explanation, she does the first ever force choke in a Star Wars story. I mean, the first ever in this timeline that she's started the force choke. Okay. And she, with zero training at all, able to. But first, in her anger, she bleeds her blue crystal. It was actually Soul's lightsaber. She throws on the ground. It breaks or something. But it literally only breaks open. They show this scene where it breaks open, and you think, oh, it's broken. Well, no. It just broke open so that we could see the crystal, and so that when she gets angry, she can bleed her dark side energy into the crystal and turn red. That was the only reason that it broke open. And it breaks up, and so we see her. So this is a thing in Disney Star Wars that was not in George Lucas Star Wars and is kind of ridiculous. They basically turn lightsaber crystals into mood rings, where you, in order for a crystal to turn red, you have to, I don't know, force dark side energy into the crystal, and you cause the crystal to bleed, and it turns red. It's really dumb. There's a comic book of Darth Vader when he first got his lightsaber after Revenge of the Sith, where he bleeds his crystal, and he has to like use all the power and force that he possibly can conjure. He's like, it's like a long drawn out scene. He's battling and fighting against his emotions and his frustrations and his past, and his mom died, Padme died, and he's drawing all this energy and all this anger and projecting into the crystal. This Osha finds out Soul killed her mom, and so she starts force choking him, and then her lightsaber crystal bleeds. She has no idea what she's doing. She had no idea why she was doing that. She was really confused as to what was happening, because she's never done that before. She's untrained, which they made it very clear in this whole show that she's not a trained Jedi. And yet, for some reason, yeah, she's a super powerful boss babe. So, whatever. And then you have this really ridiculous scene where she force chokes Soul, and Soul's like, he's getting choked out, and he's like, "It's okay, I won." And then he dies. And then she picks up the lightsaber, ignites it, and it's blue, but then it starts turning red. It literally looks like a lightsaber you got at Walmart that changes colors. That's what it looked like. So, anyways.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
$180 million. Oh, and then I showed you that lightsaber fight scene between Soul and Chimer, where they're jumping out of the window and there's like slow motion and they're just doing like this, "Oh yeah."
Yeah.
and then they glide really slowly, and then they catch up with each other and they fight. It's really weird.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, the Jedi are evil. Jedi dies. And then so at the end, oh my gosh, I don't even want to explain it. May, or for some reason, so May like, after Soul dies, May like smirks and smiles about it. And then they're like best friends now, and they're sisters again. They're reunited. And then once they reunite, and then for some reason, so the Jedi, the green bald lady, who's Leslie Headland, former personal assistant to Harvey Weinstein's wife, quote unquote wife, she is like the main, she's like become pretty much the main character at this point, because everything's about her and her decisions and what she's doing, sort of, at least how it concludes. She comes to that planet, finds Soul dead, and they're trying to chase down Chimer, May, and Osha. But they decide, oh no, the Jedi are going to catch up. So May, we need to leave you behind, but we can't leave you behind with all these memories of everything that's happened. We don't want the Jedi to find out. So we're going to erase your memory. So Chimer waves his hand and she forgets everything. And the Jedi find her and then take, even though she's a murderer, she's murdered Jedi, few Jedi, two Jedi. I don't know. She's a murderer.
Is this the green lady?
What? The green? No, this is May. May is one of the twins.
Oh, okay. That just shows you how much I know about this show.
That's okay. anyways, green lady, she finds out, oh, all these things happened. There's these, this used to be like a witch, lesbian witch coven in this place. And Soul lied about it, and he tried to cover it up. And so I'm going to go and lie to the Senate and to the Jedi Council, the High Council, about all this. I'm going to say it was Soul's fault. Soul went on a killing spree. He lost his mind and killed everyone. And then he killed himself. That's literally it. And so she lies. And then at the end, she goes to Yoda's office, and she's like, "Master, we need to talk." Pan down, back of Yoda's head, show's over. So it was implying that she goes and tells Yoda everything that happened. which would likely mean that Yoda knows everything that happened and he's been lying and, he covered it up well and he's complicit in all this. Or she's just continued to lie to him. But the fact that he can't sense what's going on. Remember, in Return of the in Attack of the Clones, Yoda's able to sense when Anakin's being tempted towards the dark side. When he's killing the, not just the men, but the women and the children too. When he's killing the sand people. Yoda's able to sense that, like, oh, Anakin's having this struggle in this fight. And then, of course, when all the Jedi start dying in Order 66, he senses it and feels it. This show, there's been a multitude of Jedi that have died, and Yoda is completely oblivious to all of it. And this green-headed woman has been going behind everyone's back and hiding everything and keeping it secret. But Ki-Adi Mundi, he knows, even though he's not supposed to be born, but he knows what's going on, and he's a little liar, and he's another one that's kind of in all this, because he knows that, oh, there was this dark side user that was killing Jedi. And
go ahead. I'm gonna go on a little rant here. This show,
do it.
It's a perfect example of these woke, liberal, crazy people that just have a deep desire to manipulate and blur the lines of good and evil, and not only in Star Wars, I'm talking about just in general. Like, they want us to, like, go into Phantom Menace and Clone Wars and all the other Star Wars movies and be like, no, the Jedi are just as evil as the Sith. And they want us to see, like, that there is no good or evil, and that it's just a blurred line. Yep. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And that's why they're trying to show, like, even in all the movies that you guys love, the Jedi are evil and they're hiding things and they have secrets and they're being manipulative and they're being horrible leaders. They're being,
it gets worse. Like, the things that, especially this episode, you get the perspective of the Jedi from a member of the Senate, and he just completely mocks and makes a complete joke out of the Jedi, and it made me so mad. But anyways, go ahead.
Jeez. No, I was about done.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just, I don't know, it's just annoying, and And they don't care about Star Wars. They don't care about the fans. They're just using this as a tool to continue to do this and to continue to push their agenda to make people question what is good, what is evil, and is there any difference in the two at all? And, I mean, I guess we can go and get into Plagueis. I mean, that was the dumbest thing ever. Yep. I don't know what's more dumb, Ki-Adi Mundi being in here or him being in this.
It's both.
And I mean, he should be, what, 10 years old? 10, 12 years old?
At the most, it should be like 25, maybe. But it should be like 15 years old. It should be like 15.
Well, his species lives to be about 100 years old. It's about a normal human lifespan for his species. And when Palpatine was talking about him and what we know about just his story, like, he should be very young in this point.
He was alive during the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
So you, like, so I don't know if you knew this, but the balcony scene where Palpatine's talking to Maul, and he's like, at last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge. Plagueis is literally in that room. In there, whatever. He's having, like, inner dialogue.
Is that canon?
Maul. It's Legends. It's George Lucas canon. But it's in the Darth Plagueis book.
George Lucas canon.
Yeah. So I guess that doesn't matter.
Anymore. But I think it's thrown out the door. Canon wise, he still should have been very, very young at that point. And he's like, he looks like he's 90 years old.
And he shouldn't be creeping around in a cave spying on some Asian man and a black woman.
Yeah.
Oh, also, they totally Raylo us. Did you know that? They. You know, so you have Kylo Ren and Raylo. Now you have, I don't even know what they're calling it, but it's OSHA. It's OSHA. OSHA and Chimere. They hold hands in the end while they watch the sunset.
Who's Chimere?
He's the Sith apprentice. He's the guy with the mat.
Oh my gosh.
Smile Ren with the mat, like the smile. He's Kylo Ren.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah.
Anyways, there's that.
So dumb.
Do you know that Leslie Headland thought when Obi-Wan says in A New Hope that Anakin was seduced by the dark side? Or Darth Vader was seduced by the dark side. She said that when I was a kid and I heard that line, I was really confused as to what that meant. That's really weird. And then when I grew up, I still think that's kind of weird. I don't understand why he gets seduced. But apparently that's how the Sith groom their apprentices, or how they train their apprentices, is they seduce people to the dark side. And so she took that as to be a sexual thing and did
of course
completely
she did.
Projected of course that she did. Upon Chimere, especially in the scene where he takes his clothes off in front of OSHA and asks her to get in the water with him. And then the fact that now he is literally seduced her to the dark side, and now she's bad and she's on the dark side following
him. Oh my gosh.
So
she's so dumb. She doesn't realize that seduce doesn't have to be sexual all the time.
Everything's sexual to them. That's their
way. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Everything is sexual to them.
There's two scenes where people take their shirts off in this show. Two dudes. And they're pointless scenes. Completely pointless to the plot.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Jeez.
Plagueis, yeah, pointless, ridiculous. Don't know why.
So dumb.
They just... And it didn't make any sense, like, in the context of the story, why he was there, what he was doing. They didn't explain anything. He's just in the cave watching them fly away. I guess implying that he's either spying on them or implying that he's maybe Chimere's master, but they didn't... I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, so he now gets... He gets inspired to learn how to create life and how to preserve life, because remember, his goal is to preserve his own life. That's what the Darth Plagueis book is about. I've actually been reading it. It's about him learning how to stop death. And apparently, this is how he learns how to do it. By finding out that there are two... there's a coven of lesbian witches who find a force hole in the ground. And they're able to create two girls that apparently aren't sisters. They're one person that split into two. And they're super powerful. And they're one's light, one's dark. But then they switch. Now one's dark, one's light, and one's light and dark. Female protagonist becomes antagonist, and then comes a protagonist that becomes an antagonist, and then becomes protagonist, and then one of them ends up on. It's just like they're playing pinball the whole time, and then we'll see where they end up. That's what it is.
Jeez. Yeah, this is
Star Wars, everyone. Let us have a moment of silence.
Part of this
for Star Wars. Let's let it die once and for all. Sorry, were you going to say something?
I was just wondering what part of this made Kathleen Kennedy cry.
Oh, all of it. The fact that two estranged sisters become back to one another, and they're wrestling with their emotions and their feelings. One moment they hate each other, but then they forgive one another and come back. And even though they're both murdering psychopaths, they just were able to let bygones be bygones and let go of the past and move forward.
So dumb. Jeez.
And OSHA, who wanted to be a Jedi, who becomes a Jedi, who falls away from the Jedi, who then is estranged from the Jedi, and then comes back to the Jedi, and then becomes a Sith. Or joins the dark side and falls in love with Smylo Ren, with Chimere, and they live happily ever after, taking over the galaxy until Palpatine, until they make love and have a little child, and they name him Palpatine. And he is the new, and he becomes the emperor and takes over the galaxy.
Yeah, no, that's probably right.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways, so let's have a moment of silence for Star Wars, because it is now dead. Yeah, it's been dead. It's been dead since 2012. I've said that before, but it's dead.
Yeah. No, I agree with it. And I've just treated all this like as just fan fiction, just fan-made content. That's all. I mean, they're not fans, but that's all it is, just fan-made content.
Fan film made by people that aren't fans.
Yeah, exactly. That's all this stuff is. And
but then they'll just say that we're not fans. And
pretty gladly say that, and I can say, you know, some of that fan fiction was pretty good. Some of it was, most of it was the biggest pile of garbage I've ever seen. And there's a few decent things in there, just like there is with fan fiction or fan made films. Like there's some good stuff out there, but there's also a lot of garbage. And that's all this stuff is. Star Wars is episode 1 through 6, and Rebels and most of Clone Wars, and
back to the light side. Yep.
That's
basically it. So, any other words any last words for Star Wars?
No. I mean, as always, we're just trying to make everybody be cognizant of what they're watching and what they're consuming, and making sure they take a good look at just what they're watching. Just make sure they're consuming good content, and we're trying to point out the bad and point out the good. I mean, we're going to be reviewing Shawshank Redemption after this, and that'll be posted for a week later after the people that are listening to this. And yeah, head over to our movie reviews channel. We review movies, and some are good, some are bad. And this season, we're going over our favorite movies. So most of them should be good, and we hope they are good. And we're learning as we go, and we hope you guys are learning too. And we're just trying to do this as a service for you guys, and hope it's been beneficial for you as it's been for us. And we hope you're getting a lot out of this, and we really are doing this for you guys, because we care about you and we love you, and we want you to glorify God through everything that you do, and that includes the entertainment you consume. And we also have a Patreon where we do mini reviews of a lot of newer movies. Next week we have Deadpool and Wolverine coming out, so Trent and I are going to go to the theater, watch it, and do a mini review on that. So definitely tune in for that, and you can subscribe to our Patreon to support us there. Maybe we'll do a callback to our season 1 and talk about the end credit scene. Sadly, no Stanley cameo, but
yeah,
we can talk about the end credit scene or something, just as a callback to our last season. And we have a lot on our Patreon. We have couple movies on there, and a backlog of Movie Chronicle episodes that are not released to the public, and a whole bunch of mini reviews, and we try to make as beneficial for you guys as possible and make it worth it, and give you alternatives for good content to watch, and
definitely.
If you want to support us, head over there, patreon.com, and that'll help us out, help us to be able to continue doing this. It's something we love to do for you guys. And yeah. Any last words, Trent, before we sign out this week?
I think that's it. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Glorify God and watch good movies. We'll see you next time. Bye.